Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another His Way Out Ministries radio broadcast. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. This is certainly the day that the Lord has made, and because of Jesus, you and I have every reason to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm very pleased to share with you this morning that I'm being joined by a very, very special guest. She happens to be the CEO and founder of Janet Boyne's Ministries, a Christian ministry dedicated to helping those who are trapped in the sin of homosexuality and desire to be free from the brokenness of same-sex attraction. I'm sure you can tell already by the title of the ministry, Janet Boyne's Ministries, that with me this morning is Janet Boyne's. Janet, good to have you. Welcome.
Hey, Pastor Philip. It's awesome to be a part of this radio broadcast with you. God bless you.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here this morning, and we have so much to discuss. And you and I both know the topic of homosexuality is such a vast topic. The question is, where do we begin? And it seems to me the best place to begin would be for us to share that when it comes to the subject matter of the brokenness of same-sex attraction, you and I both speak to this topic professionally and personally. You at one time found yourself in a battle with unwanted same-sex attraction, but now have a very brand new life in Christ Jesus. And I'd like to ask you if you would share, please, some testimony of how Jesus moved in your life so dramatically.
You know, you're right. It is through the power of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we feel that we can do things on our own. And sometimes, in some cases, people do things on their own out of just grit and grind, you know. But I believe that when the Lord came into my life many, many years ago, back in 1998, when I rededicated my heart to the Lord, is only because of Jesus. But I was raised in a family of 7 kids, 4 different fathers. And many will say, well, that didn't happen in my life. There's so many different reasons why people go into the life of homosexuality or become transgender or drugs or alcohol. However, it's all a part of brokenness. But for me, I watched my father, who fathered the 3 under me. He was my stepfather. And I watched him come home drunk on a regular basis and abuse my mother. And what I saw, I had a tendency of doing at school. A lot of times parents are like, why are my kids doing these things? But they don't realize that what they're teaching their kids is what they're doing and putting into corresponding action. I watched my father literally beat my mother up, push her down steps, give her black eyes, become bruised. And I thought that's the way you're supposed to handle your problems. When things didn't go your way, you just go beat everybody up. And that's what I did. I went to school and I started beating up all the boys. When I wrote my first book, Called Out, A Former Lesbian Discovery of Freedom. When I wrote the book, what I realized, Pastor Philip, is that the pain and the brokenness that I was going through and how I was acting out was because of what my dad was doing to my mother. I was literally trying to get back at my dad. So what I did, I went to school and beat up all the boys at school. But even during that time and my mother going through that abuse, being the middle child, 2 boys and a girl older than me, 2 boys and a girl younger than me, I didn't get the love and attention that, you know, the oldest and the 2 youngest received from my mother. It seemed like us 3 in the middle, you know, the 4 in the middle, 2 boys and 2 girls, we didn't get the love and attention. But at a younger age, even though I was getting kicked out of school, there was a knock at the door one Sunday morning. My sister and I used to look at each other and ask ourselves and ask each other, are you still in our clothes? Because my mother had an iron fist. When my mother said, I'm going to get you, it could be a month. She would backhand us and get us for what we did about a month or 2 months ago. But we found out my brother Robert, who is now deceased in 1999 from AIDS, he died of AIDS, he was transitioning. He was cross-dressing. That's what we called back in the day. We didn't call him transgender. We called him cross-dressing. My brother was stealing our clothes, so he was living a homosexual life. I didn't even think about living a homosexual life at that time. I was just enjoying life, enjoying sports, enjoying childhood. But a lot of people used to say, oh, she's going to be gay. She's going to be what they called back then a whack. You know what? She's a lesbian. No, I was just enjoying life. Yeah, I was a tomboy. But, man, what people said about me and what was done to me really propelled me to want to go into a life of homosexuality. My mother was married, even though she was separated from, you know, the next two oldest children's father. We used to go down there on a regular basis. Me and my youngest sister used to follow my oldest sister. And this one particular day, he sent my oldest sister and my youngest sister to the store, and he kept me behind. He started molesting me. Mm-hmm. And then months later, I was raped by an altar boy at my church. I went down to go to the bathroom, was in the basement. And I went to close the door, and I felt something push. And he wind up raping me. Years later, I found out that same man that my mother was married to molested another family member. And this really tormented this person for a long time, because when I told my mother at the age of 21, she didn't even believe me. But soon as this other family member revealed what happened to her, now they finally believe. But do you know what it's like for a young kid to be molested by your mother's spouse or by an older adult and nobody believes you? That is so painful. So without going into all the Me Too, even though I don't like the way the Me Too movement is going, because it's really trying to push men in the back corner, but that's another subject in and of itself. But I went on to move to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I met this wonderful guy, and I thought I was going to get married. I'm going to make a long story short. And we were supposed to get married in August of 1985. And because he was a professional bike racer, he was never around. I was excited to marry this guy. I wasn't thinking about anything else, any type of homosexual relationship. But this girl came into my life at work, and we started spending time together because my fiance was gone all the time. And I happened to go over to her parents' house, who her father was a pastor at that time. I spent the night with her. It was late at night, and I didn't think any more about it. And she started touching me, and I got aroused, and I wound up sleeping with this woman 3 months before I was supposed to walk down the aisle and get married to my fiance. I wound up walking away from the Lord and started living a homosexual life for 14 years.
Wow. Can you, Janet, in your life, can you pinpoint an age when you went, uh-oh, something is really, really wrong? Can you pinpoint an age?
Yeah, the age of 13. The age of 13, even though I wasn't involved in a homosexual life, Pastor Philip, what I did start doing was medicating my pain through drugs and alcohol. I started getting higher than a kite. I started smoking cigarettes. I was starting to rebel. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know how to fix what was wrong. I didn't know how to get the love and attention. So really, when I was getting kicked out of school on a regular basis, me acting out because I got beat by my mother severely, I thought that's the way to get the love and attention that I needed, is by acting out of my pain.
That is so, so intriguing, because you were the age of 13. I was the same age when I realized, uh-oh. And prior to the age of 13 years old, I knew something was wrong. Something wasn't quite right. I could put my finger on it. It didn't have a definite name. But at the age of 13, I became acutely aware of my own issue of same-sex attraction. And, you know, I have heard the very same from an abundance of other men and women. At the age of 13, boom, there it was. And the panic and the shame, boy, it just seems to hit so many people in so many different ways. But there's something about...
And the hopelessness.
Yes, yes. Except for Christ Jesus.
But what do you do when you really... When a lot of people say, well, I've given my heart to the Lord back then, how can this thing happen? You know, how can I be tempted? We're always going to be in a spiritual battle, and I hear this on a regular basis. you know, I know Jesus as my Lord, God, and Savior. Well, as long as Satan's on planet Earth and he's alive and well, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We're in a spiritual battle, and we're going to have to fight this battle. Whether yes. you're on drugs or alcohol or you're having sex outside of marriage, you're looking at pornography, we're going to have to fight this battle in the spirit when we're going to need the supernatural to get back to the natural.
Absolutely. The war between the spirit and the flesh is very, very real, and it will continue in each of our lives. We either go home to be with Jesus or he comes back to get us. So I guess what I'm saying to a large degree is relax and enjoy the journey, because the enemy of our soul is never going to take a vacation from us, is he?
He's not going to take a vacation, and that's where a lot of Christians, you know, I was just reading something about my good friend, Dr. Michael Brown, who wrote the foreword on my last book that came out, God and Sexuality, Truth and Relevance Without Compromise. I mean, he's getting beat to, you know, hard by the gay community. They're saying things to him that I wouldn't even consider saying to other people, you know, like die or, you know, I'll spit on your grave. And I mean, he's just being harassed. Why? Because he's speaking truth. But they're trying to silence him. So, you know, when you talk about, they talk about tolerance. You know what? They're not tolerant with us, but they want us to be tolerant with them. Yes. You know, it's a sad day in America when we cannot stand up and agree to disagree. And I'm going to tell you, until the Lord takes me home, until he comes back to get me, until I die, I am not going away. I will not be silenced and I will not be moved.
Well, for me, October 5th, 1985 is when everything in life changed. That was the day that I departed from homosexuality. I've never looked back. So coming up this October, it'll be 33 years of walking in a new life with Christ. And you know what? I have never, ever, even for a split second, ever regretted my saying goodbye to gay and hello to Jesus.
You know what? It'll be 20 years for me in September, but let me just go there since we're talking about that. Let me piggyback on that. A lot of people say, well, you cannot come out of homosexuality, Janet. You're still a single woman. You know, I have no control over, you know, who God brings into my life for me to marry in a heterosexual relationship. There's so many men that have wanted to date me, but I would have been dating just because of loneliness, not because it's the right person. But what caused me to never want to look back is when I walked away, and I'm assuming this could be with you, I didn't look back. I walked away from those that are living a homosexual life, and I was able to join a new community
yes.
of heterosexual couples that literally took me under their wing, and I moved in with a Christian family, you know, in 1998 at Maple Grove Assemblies of God, where I went back to church. This couple came to me and said, hey, we really feel in our hearts that, you know, that the Lord is telling us you should come live with us. So at the age of 40, when I came back to the Lord in 1998, I moved in with a Christian family. What I want to say to those who are listening to this broadcast is that when you walk away from something, regardless of what it is, you got to find a new community.
Yes.
But what I'm hearing from a lot of those who are still living a life of homosexuality is, hey, Janet, I really would like to come out of that life. I'm afraid that I'm going to be lonely. And then when they do come out and they go to church, we're missing the mark because they become even more lonelier, because when people see what they look like, they might not walk like them, talk like them, or look like them. They don't want to accept them and realize that God is going to change them from the inside out, not the outside in. So we got to allow people and help them to build a new community like this church and those at the church did for me. That's why I'm still walking in with Christ, is because when I walked away, I built a new community. I didn't no longer have to look back to the gay community to help pull me along or to get into, you know, good friendships and good relationships. I had other heterosexual couples assist me in my journey.
Sounds like there's a lot of similarities between your journey and mine. I remember very, very well. Had it not been in October of 1985, for a church welcoming me into their congregation and loving me through a process, I don't know that you and I would be having this conversation right now. You know, I did not become a Christian to leave homosexuality. I became a Christian because Jesus just makes sense. And where I was, what I was living, and the community I was involved in at the time, made absolutely no sense whatsoever. I even shared this morning on a Facebook post that even today, when I'm sharing in a church or a conference, I will make my way to the back of the sanctuary or the conference center itself, and I'll look and I'll think, this is good, this is decent, this makes sense, because where I came from, it didn't make sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. Like I tell people, I didn't walk, or I don't want people to leave the life of homosexuality just to go into a heterosexual relationship. Right. It's to walk in holiness,
right.
You know, have
yes.
a relationship with Jesus. I'm an evangelist. I was just ordained under the AG organization April 20th. So I am now, you know, a pastor legally with all the papers to identify me as a pastor. But that's not why I want to see people come to know Jesus. You know, not just to leave or get into a heterosexual relationship. I want them to be holy. I want them to know Jesus as I know him, as my Lord, God, and Savior. He's
Amen.
A friend. He will stick closer than a brother. He never said it was going to be easy, because I'm going to tell you, this walk is not easy. I would not have chose to be in ministry, working or helping and assisting churches deal with the life of homosexuality, because the backlash is brutal.
Huge, huge. Well, let's talk about that just for a moment. Janet Boyne's Ministries is a Christian ministry that is dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with the necessary information and skills to help address what some would call the controversial issue of same-sex attraction, which is most definitely impacting the Christian church today. I want to ask you, Janet, how and when did the Holy Spirit begin to tug at your heart about this very specialized ministry focus? When he began to speak to your heart, when he began to tug at your heart about the need for this specialized focus of ministry, did you immediately reply with, oh, yippee?
No. I didn't even. Matter of fact, when I was asked to speak at Assemblies of God's Women's Conference, I turned them down the first time. And let me tell you why. I knew I was called to ministry. I remember in the world, I used to say, you want me, God, you catch me. But I am not coming back, because a priest told me I could have God and I can become a homosexual and I can become transgender, because I did think about transitioning, because I talked with a priest about it, because I wanted to be everything but not a woman. I wanted to show women that men could treat women better than my father treated my mother. So I really wanted to transition, even though I never did that. But when the Lord called me into ministry, I turned the speaking engagement down because I wasn't ready. And when I was ready, I was ready. Because a lot of times when people see those of us come out of life of homosexuality, even though it was almost 20 years ago, they wanted to get me out there right away. It wasn't as prevalent as it was today.
Right.
But I was not skipping along thinking, yay, yay, yay. It was difficult, but God continued to open doors, and he continued to direct my steps. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So
yes.
I followed the light. And wherever I found peace, I knew I was in the will of God. But even today, Pastor Philip, what I'm saying is that we have men and women that are coming out of life of homosexuality, and they have a story and have a testimony, but they have not dealt with their pain. They have not dealt with what got them there in the first place. For me, I wanted to deal with what got me there in the first place. I said, Lord, I don't ever want to get married. I don't want to take homosexuality and then switch over to a different addiction like drugs or alcohol or overeating or even a relationship. I wanted you to deal with what got me there in the first place.
Yes.
Why did I go into the life of homosexuality? Because of the brokenness. Because I hated men so bad. I did not like what they did to women. Matter of fact, I still got to check myself. Whenever I see a man abusing a woman or being mean, I have to hold back because something still wells up inside of me with frustration. So I'm always, you know, God is still working on my life. I'm in school of continuous learning. I'm looking forward to getting married even at the age of 60. But I knew that if I didn't deal with my pain, I would never be at the place where I'm at today. So God really put me in situations, put me around some godly men who were married, who did not say anything, you know, sexual to me, but these men were around me to allow me to see that all men were not mean. All men weren't going to rape me. All men aren't just going to look at me as a piece of meat. And God did that for me because he knew what my future held. And he knew that if I held on to him and I stayed the course, that I would be in the place that I'm at today.
Yes.
And I'm grateful that I did not just jump into a heterosexual relationship to please other people, because a lot of people in the gay community, as nasty as they can be and as vile as they are to me some days, they're like, you're still gay, you're not married. Well, they don't define me anymore. I know who I am in Christ today. Yes, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt me. Does it hurt sometimes? I'm human. Yes,
yes.
Because they don't know me and they're saying these nasty, vile things about me. But now I know who I am in Christ. And so I'm not moved by their bad behavior or some of the things that they say to me. But I'm grateful that after 20 years that I'm still walking with Jesus, I'm still holding strong, and it's because of the great people that I have around me that are really helping me to stay grounded.
Amen and amen. You know, I don't know where we got the idea, the concept, that a wedding ring on the finger seems to communicate to some people that that means everything is okay. That is not the evidence of a transformed life. But I want to return just a moment ago something you brought to the conversation here. The majority of men and women that struggle with unwanted same-sex attraction, especially when they come to Christ, surrendering to Him, that He would have unhindered way in their life, they want to know, because we're sharing with them, look, science does not support the born that way theory. It's always been a theory that's never been proven. We can't say we're born that way because that is a direct contradiction of Scripture. And they want to know, okay, how did this happen? I didn't ask for this. I didn't seek this. But here it is. And they want to know, how did this happen to me? And for a lot of men and women, when they begin to travel what happened in past life experiences, much of which they did not have any control over, the lights start to come on. You can just see the transformation literally as it began to understand, okay, I'm getting this. And it brings forth a lot of healing and transformation and an abundance of lives. So once again, understanding that we're talking about an acquired behavior in so many respects, and any acquired behavior can be unacquired. But I want to ask you, Janet, I know a lot of men and women around the world, as you do, that were once bound in an intense battle with same-sex attraction. They have now resolved this area in their life. I don't know of a single man or woman that's been able to achieve that, to move into a healthy life, if you will, apart from a deep, genuine, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How about you?
No, I mean, for me, personally, I can't speak for everybody else, but those that I know that are walking strong with God, we had to get to know Jesus as our Lord, God, and Savior. The word I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I don't know how you can live, or anybody else, and I hope I'm answering your question, can live without Jesus in today's world. Now, let's think about some of the people that have lived for Jesus at one time and walked away from their Lord, God, and Savior. Those who are saying that, you know, I'm still tempted, what does that tell us about them? Did they not get totally healed from their brokenness, or they just chose that I can't deal with this anymore, that I'm walking away from my faith because they were drawn away by the lust of their flesh?
Yes.
And we know, and you know as well, as some of those that really stood for this issue have now walked away from God. You have Randy Thomas, you have, you know, John Polk, and you know, some others that I looked up to, you know, when I was coming out of life. And so, you know, I think about, you know, why didn't they stay the course? Was it the lust of the flesh, or they just were not rooted and grounded in the things of God that pulled them away? Well, without Jesus, and if you're not in tune with the Word of God, which I have right in front of me right now, if you're not eating and sleeping the Bible, that's our food for today, just like we have to fuel our body with, you know, eating, you know, to stay healthy, and drinking water. We got to do the same thing with the Word of God. We got to fuel our body with the Word of God. Otherwise, we're not going to survive. We're not going to make it.
That's right. And I'll offer this also, and this may be overly simplistic for some, but I see it this way. At the end of the day, regardless of the habit, regardless of the addiction, regardless of the compulsive behavior, we are living in a world, especially today, each man and woman has to decide, which do I want more? Whatever it is, or Jesus. That's really how I see it. Now, again, some would say that's just a bit too simple, but I really see it that way. We have to make a decision and a choice. Whom are we going to surrender to, it or Him?
Well, the Bible does say you have to serve. You can serve one or the other. You can't serve three people. You can call, you know, that whatever it is. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve Satan. If you're not serving God, you're serving Satan. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. You can only choose one master. I chose who I was going to serve.
Yes.
Am I paying the price? Yes. But He did say, you know, in His word that, you know, if they came after me, they're going to come after you. But let me say this. Jesus did everything right.
Yes, he did.
He did everything right.
Yes, he did.
And they still nailed him to the cross. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So as long as Satan is on planet Earth, you know, in Mark, I was reading this earlier today, Jesus teaches about, you know, inner purity. You know, these people honor me with their lips. I mean, we have so many people in the gay community, and I'm sure I'll hear about this. They honor him with their lips. Yeah, we're Christian. We're more of a Christian than you are, you know. But they ignore his law, you know, and substitute it with their own tradition. It even goes down to say in Mark, it says, it's not what goes into the body that defiles you. It's what comes out of your heart.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's the heart. I mean, people can say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but what is your heart saying? What are you doing with your heart? It is what comes from inside a person that defiles you. Yes. And it also goes and says in Mark 7:20, it says, for from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thought, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, lustful desires, so forth and so on. All these vile things come from within.
Yes.
That's what defiles a person.
Yes.
So whatever in our heart eventually is going to come out. So all those who say, you know, I serve God, but, you know, you're spitting out all this venom, you're throwing all this rock. They're like, no, I'm not throwing rocks at you. Well, you sure not throwing pillows.
Pillows. That would be nice for a change.
I wish. What do you do? I think we know. And we have to get back to what's real. I heard Dr. Jimmy Evans said this at Gateway. He said, do you know most Christians don't even believe Satan exists? We need to call this thing what it is.
Yes.
As long as the enemy, Satan himself, is on planet Earth, he's going to wreak havoc. And I believe this homosexual propaganda, this homosexual thing that is reaping that's sweeping our country, is from the enemy and it's from the pit of hell. And it's a way for people to get their eyes off of Christ and not deal with the real cause of what got them into certain situations in the first place.
Janet, I'm getting a heads up. We've only got about 2 minutes left. But obviously, I knew going into this that with you being my guest this morning, we'd have a lot to discuss. So are you available to come back again next week and continue our conversation?
Yes. I look forward to it, Pastor.
Well, I'm so grateful for all that you've shared so far, and I look forward to our continuing sharing. For all our listeners, if you're not aware at this point, that His Way Out Ministries remains dedicated to equipping, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ around the world to minister transformingly to both men and women and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. For information about His Way Out Ministries, please consider visiting our website, which is hiswayout.com. And Janet, your website address is?
www.janetboynes, and that's spelled B-O-Y-N-E-S, ministries.com.
Amen. Well, once again, for all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you'll join us again next week, same time, same station. And until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.